Welcome back to our Wild Bible Study. We're talking about the unseen realm and the mysteries of what happens in the spirit realm that explain what might be happening now as we're opening up portals into the interaction of an unseen dimension that's starting to show up on planet Earth. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the sons of man, Jesus said. And what happened in the days of Noah? Well, what we talked about in our last episode is very unusual things happen. Violence increased in the earth. Lawlessness was multiplying. People were acting more and more savage and weird. And this was precipitated by something which was an invasion of the earth by an angelic realm that came into the earth realm in Genesis chapter 6. And I mentioned there were four significant phases of rebellion that took place, all captured within the book of beginnings, Genesis. We look at Lucifer's rebellion, then we have Adam's rebellion, then we have the watchers, or those who were the angels in Genesis chapter 6 that came down and saw the daughters of men and left their domain and amplified the rebellion by increasing wickedness in the earth by cohabiting with women and then producing an offspring of giants or Nephilim or a species that wasn't human and that had a particular violent propensity. And the fourth rebellion after the flood is Genesis 10 is Babylon, where the Babylonian where the Tower of Babel was built for the purpose of being able to unify the earth in a unified faith, but not serving Yahweh, but actually, as I'll show you, creating a divine occultic union with fallen spirits so that all of mankind could be unified with an occultic access to the celestial realm. And I know it sounds a little strange, but I'll back all this up with the Bible in a minute. Some were saying, well, where did you get this information about Lucifer and his fall? Because we went last study was between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. God created something and then suddenly it's tohu va-bohu. There's chaos. Well, Isaiah chapter 14 is a familiar verse. Suddenly the prophet leaps into a window into something which can only apply to a celestial rebellion. Listen to this. Chapter 12, verse 14 of Isaiah. How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. Which is why I'm saying that there was the earth that then was. Well, I'll show you some verses where Lucifer is called the god of this world because he actually was in Eden, the garden of God, before his rebellion. So he had supervisory influence over this planet and the commerce and the mercantile trade and activity that was going on here that was under his supervision. And this was part of the realm that he managed. And you weaken the nations, for you've said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. These are the eyes. Listen to how the eye exalts itself. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. So that literally would be above the other angels, because the angels are referred to as God, the stars of God. I will also sit on the mountain of the congregation, on the farthest sides of the north, saying that he will have the most exalted seat overall. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High, and yet you should be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you and consider, saying, is this the man who made the earth to tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world as a wilderness, destroyed its cities, and did not open the prison house? And all the kings and all of them that sleep in glory, everyone in his own house. But you are cast out of your grave like an abominable branch, like the garment of those who are slain, thrust through with a sword to go down to the stones, the pit, like a corpse trodden underfoot. So we see Isaiah the prophet is prophesying regarding Lucifer and then starts to move towards the application of the earthly thrones that are under the influence of that spirit. But I want you to catch the fact that the origin of Satan's fall was this sense of, as I described earlier in Ezekiel, he had a unique role And he saw man coming, I believe, on the horizon, and did not want man to be exalted above him. And that kind of catalyzed his rebellion. We're dealing with, I want to remind you now, my series is Jezebel Reveal. It goes with what I'm teaching now. This takes you into the unseen realm of how that spirit operates, how it creates intimidation and manipulation, domination relationships. You'll see the spirit realm has this material way. You know that. If you're a Christian of any substance, you've had warfare. And it always happens with people, doesn't it? I mean, you could battle disease and accidents. There's the demon stuff. But so much of your problem is flesh and blood. That's why Apostle Paul said you don't battle with flesh and blood. Because it's flesh and blood, you're fighting all the time. There's a spirit behind it that wants to kill you. Call 800-910-6349. Go to lancewellen.com/Jezebel. Learn how to walk discerning it, free from it. And the spirit of Elijah is God's heavenly antidote. It's like Holy Spirit ivermectin gives you an immunity. You need to get a hold of the spirit of Elijah. We talk about that in lancewellen.com/Jezebel. How much is it, Brother Lance? Whatever you want to give. How's that for a deal, Lucille? Whatever you want to give. All right. In Ezekiel 28, you see something else. Another window breaks open here. These are like the windows into the spirit realm. The word of the Lord says to this prophet, a contemporary of Daniel's during the Babylonian captivity, son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre. So he's going to take up a lamentation for the king, just like Isaiah would be prophesying to kings, but then he reaches back into the spirit realm to show what's happening down here is a parallel of what's already preceded. You were the seal of perfection. We believe this refers to Lucifer. Full of wisdom and perfect in beauty, you were in Eden, the very garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, the sardis and topaz and diamond, beryl and onyx and jasper, sapphire and turquoise and emerald with gold. And there was workmanship of timbrels and pipes that was woven into you when you were created. You was prepared for you. On the day you were created as a cherub, you had instruments put into your wings. Now, of course, the Bible says that when the cherub moved in their wings, it was as though it sounds like the voice of God. But when they move like that and the sound goes through those wings, it's like the Beethoven symphonies came through him. And then he has this body crested. You have skin. Birds have feathers. Lucifer has jewels. And those jewels would ignite with like a light show as he worshiped over the throne of God. You were the anointed cherub who covered. Interesting. He had a preeminent role with those wings of worship. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. That was the realm between earth and heaven. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created. He was the master craftsmanship of God. He was the ultimate angel. But by the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence. Trading? But you see, now you see that there was Lucifer was in Eden, but he had a throne there and he was administrating the earth. And he somehow became corrupted with the eyes I showed you where he was seeing himself as exalted, but he began to drift from a position of his role of contentment where God put him into an aspiration and a selfish ambition for more. Therefore, I cast you out as a profane thing, out of the mountain of God. I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. Therefore, I cast you to the ground. I laid you before the kings that they gazed at you because you defiled your sanctuaries. This is interesting. Sanctuaries were on the earth, places of worship and devotion, places of trade, places of commerce. And he was in charge of that, but he got corrupted as he was in charge of that. And by the iniquity of your trading, your sanctuaries, those sacred places became defiled. Therefore, I brought fire from your midst and it devoured you and I turned you into ashes on the earth. There's a theory that within the design of Lucifer, in that beautiful jewel-studded exterior with the pipes and the instruments of the cherub, whose wings sounded like the voice of God. He beamed the worship of earth that then was over the throne of God, then went back to administrate the things of earth for God. He had a mechanism on the inside of him. He did not know. A kill switch. And all that God had to do was to reach inside of that. Therefore, I brought forth combustion from the inside out. Now the Bible, it says that he was once covered with jewels. He was burned in such a way, kind of in an interesting way. It's almost like you see the character Anakin Skywalker, you know, with the lava, and he becomes like Darth Vader and all that. It's funny how these stories actually mirror stories that are actually Bible. And what happened is he now became the dragon, the serpent. Instead of those beautiful stones, he disguises himself so that he looks like an angel of light. But in fact, if you pull the veil back, his exterior has been moved to reptilian scales rather than jewels. I turned you to ashes upon the earth. All who knew you among the people were astonished. You became a horror. And they saw, and then boom, tohu va-bohu, judgment upon the earth that then was, the rebellion that had evidently metastasized so that the whole realm was in league with Lucifer, who had seduced a certain number of angels with him in their rebellion. And I postulate that the only combined reason the Bible reveals for that is that Lucifer had an inordinate obsession with himself, his own place, his own beauty. He said, why would I? But what would make him feel that he wasn't being exalted? I believe a little bit of that is the Godhead had a plan on bringing forth man, another species that all the angel realms would serve. Now God could see the end from the beginning, could see redemption, the new birth, you and me, heaven coming down to a new earth. God knew the whole story from the beginning because Jesus was slain from the foundation of the earth, which means from the word foundation is the root word of katabolo. It refers to the casting down. Jesus knew he had to die, and the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit understood what was coming in the future and still chose to go through the agony and the pain of this for the greater glory of what would come out of it. And yes, angels will serve that new species, but that new species will be the image of God, not Adam, but the new creature, even beyond Adam, who was a creature walking with God in the garden. Jesus said, I am now ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. We are now part of the body of Christ. We would be, and I think somehow Lucifer foresaw there was an exalted species coming that they would serve, and that wasn't for him. But you can see how that can happen. I'm not sympathetic with him, I'm just telling you, as a fallen human being, you could see what was playing out in him. All right, that I went back there. Now, when we go back to the first rebellion I talked about there, the second rebellion we cover in Genesis chapter 6. We covered it last week, but for those of you that are watching right now that haven't seen it, in Genesis chapter 6, we have this discussion of God with having watchers, angels that are set over. Remember, he put angels at the entrance of the Garden of Eden, and then he has angels that are watching over the earth. All I can tell you is that what we understand from this is that that it came to pass in chapter 6 that when the daughters of men began to multiply on the earth, the sons of God, the angels of God, saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives from them of all that they saw. And they produced giants. They produced hybrids. And, science right now, we're looking at this thing called the singularity, which is a point where technology is going to become sentient, become intelligent, where human beings are going to start to merge with technology. And, you get a little wire put in your head and you can do things and know things. Not only physically you could do stuff, but you could actually get that wire implant and start to tap into it. It's almost like having data in your head. There's this merger of technology. It's always been part of man's kind of fallen ambition to be like God, because children of the devil, with the influence of the devil, want to exalt themselves to be above the Most High. And so mankind that doesn't believe in God wants to be God, wants to live forever, wants to augment the physical capacity to be able to rule over others. This is the danger of what you see in the last days, as the Bible warns, with the coming global government and the Antichrist. who himself will be possessed by Lucifer. It's an interesting story we have here in the Bible. Anyway, let me go develop this theory a little bit. I read to you from the book of Enoch. But maybe let's go. I got a video for you. A lot of this, I encourage you to explore the writings of the teaching of Michael Heiser. Play the Michael Heiser on Skywatch TV. I got 3 minutes just so you can see. I've been studying him lately. As a Hebrew scholar of the Intertestament period, we finally have somebody that believes in the Bible evangelically, believes in the supernatural, but then starts to see and understand how these principalities and powers that are ruling the nations have an origin, and God explains where they came from, how they originated, and why the world is structured the way it is, and how Paul developed his theology that we're dealing with principalities and powers over territories and over nations. But these questions are done rather well in the opening here of Heiser's interview on Skywatch TV. Why don't you play it?
Who is God? How do we know there is a God? Is there more than one God? Why are we here? Who put us here? I mean, these are all big picture, inherently theological questions. And maybe the way you heard about this in church is only one way to think about it from the Bible. I mean, I get a number of emails and I meet people at conferences that will say things like, I used to be a Christian until. And the until is followed by, I saw something on Ancient Aliens, or I heard this podcast, or I heard this radio show, or I read this book, or I had this experience. Well, let's face it, there are no seminary classes on, you know, alternative religions that are required, or UFO stuff, or New Age stuff. Pastors just run into this stuff. Mm-hmm. And if they have no background, if they don't invest a little time, I would say significant time into it, they really don't know how to even have a conversation with someone who has spent a lot of time, you know, in that area. And they already have an axe to grind against what you're going to tell them.
Dr. Heiser, as a UFO researcher, mm-hmm. how did you come into that line of research?
Yeah, I actually got into this through the novel, The Facade, at least in terms of sort of public note, you know, as far as people, you know, associating me with this subject. I mean, my academic training is in ancient studies. You know, I have a PhD in Hebrew Bible, took lots of Semitic languages, lots of biblical theology. I was a professor for a number of years. And that might seem to be sort of a real disconnect between, you know, all that stuff and UFO stuff. Well, in addition to the novel, the way it connects is the whole ancient alien mythology.
Right.
Okay, so, it's true. While I was in graduate school, I took the first year of what should have been my dissertation and just bailed on that. And I decided, hey, you know, other people in the department go do a little personal project, you know, for a year because you kind of get burnt out. Mm-hmm. I'm going to write a novel because it's just something I always wanted to do. I had, you know, been interested in paranormal stuff, specifically UFOs, for a number of years. The absurd CNN press conference in 1997 was what took me from a dabbler to somebody that thought, I really need to pay attention to this. That was the press conference.
The Phoenix Lights?
This was before that. It was 50th anniversary of the Roswell event.
Oh, right.
This is where Colonel Haynes from the Air Force said that they believed all the Roswell witnesses had undergone time compression.
Yeah.
Okay, and I went out, I got the transcript from CNN, like I can't believe I just heard this. Mm-hmm. That, you know, and what time compression was to the Air Force, and again, this was their third explanation of the Roswell event, which tells you something alone.
Right.
They said, well, you know, we think all of the witnesses to this event thought they were in 1947, but they were really in the early 1950s because that's when we started using these crash dummies. he says this to CNN.
Wow. Talk about a reach.
I want you to see a little bit of Michael Heiser because... Yeah, he's a PhD scholar in the area of these, you know, the Hebrew and Hebrew studies and the literature of that era. But he's making an interesting point. He really had a burden to reach out a lot to young men who were exploring the occult and New Age and especially UFOs and aliens. Because if they don't really have an intelligent encounter with Jesus in the church, they write it off and they don't realize, wait a second, there's a whole rich history of other things that are in the Bible that explain the actual origin of all of this this interaction of the supernatural realm of celestial intelligence that has shown up on the earth and has left its fingerprints and its markings. But bring it into the biblical narrative, you see that Jesus was a lot more wild than you think. He came here to undo not just the rebellion of Lucifer and the fall of Adam, but he also came to undo the rebellion of the watchers, which was the contamination of the earth through the angels that came down, which explains why, as I mentioned in my last episode, when it came time for the transfiguration, where did the angels come down and rebel according to the writing of Enoch, which, by the way, is quoted in Jude and quoted by Peter. So there's something in this which is quotable in the Bible. It came to pass that the children of men increased in those days, that there was a rebellion where 200 angels bound themselves together, and they descended on Ardis, which is the summit of Mount Hermon. And they called it Mount Hermon because they had sworn on it to bind themselves under a curse that they would go into the daughters of men, that they would exit the realm of heaven. And in Jude, the brother of Jesus is the writer of this. Jude, could say half-brother, because obviously Jesus, they didn't have the same father. But Jude writes this, from Enoch. The angels, verse 6, who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved an everlasting change under great darkness for the judgment of the great day. What is that talking about? The angels who didn't keep their proper abode, or who didn't stay in the spirit realm they were assigned to, but left it and materialized on earth. They were judged by God, and they were taken from the earth and put in chains. The Greek construction says multiple chains so that they were secured. And then you'll read something which Peter himself, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. Let's see if we could go find Peter. My Bible's falling apart here. Look at this. I've got Bible pages falling out. 2 Peter chapter 2. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, he didn't spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in a flood on the world of the ungodly. And if he turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes and condemned them to destruction, making them an example. What Peter is saying here that is so important is that God took the angel realm that rebelled, and they're linked into this period of Noah. Jude likewise talks about Sodom at the same time, because this was the period in which all manner of sexual perversity was multiplying on the earth, largely because the angels that came down had inaugurated a whole new era of defilement and aberrant practices. And so that word for hell there is the word Tartarus or Tartarus. It's used in Greek literature and other places, but it's the word that is used here in the inspired scripture to refer to the deepest part of the bottomless pit where there is a prison house, a solitary confinement, where these angelic forces are chained, and they're chained until they're to be judged. And then we find out something kind of interesting, where in another verse, where Peter says that Jesus himself went down and preached to the spirits that were in disobedience during the days of Noah. So once we go back again, where Peter's talking about, this goes into Enochian. This is where Enoch fits in. It's the backstory that talks about what angels are we talking about? Where were they? I want you to catch a perspective on spiritual warfare that is unique. LanceWalnut.com/Jezebel. Get a hold of this for your gift of any amount. Whatever you want to invest, you can have it. Call 800-910-6349 and grab it. So let's stop here and take a look at the radical journey that I want us to go on. You see, I've listened to some scholars that say something that was so gratifying to hear. They said, the more weird the verse is in the Bible, the more important it is. I never heard that before. When I grew up, it was always, the 10 heads, the 7 horns. I had preachers mock it, like, yeah, right, so what? You forget about that. If it's in the Bible, It's there for a reason. And the more unusual that revelation, the more I want to understand what's actually happening here. And he finds some crazy stuff out. So I was always intrigued with this angel and spirit realm. I got started, really, in the pursuit of the gospel. Because when I got saved, I wanted to do a Halloween special for all my unsaved friends. And Annabelle and I were dating, and she was a photographer. So we did these slides. She took pictures, and I told about the story of Satan and the fall of Lucifer and the earth that then was, and then the tohu va bohu, the earth destroyed, and then God starting over and putting a new species there, and Adam being the pinnacle of God's creative genius up until the time he became a man. And that the devil was jealous of this new creature that was given authority over him, so he seduced his way in. And I told the story with slides, and I brought it into the end times because it seemed to me that occult world of the unseen, I call it the Ephesian factor, would eventually come down in the last days, in the Antichrist, a man who is not a man, but in the same way that Satan entered into Judas, I believe this man, the counterfeit Christ, will be what Lucifer would do if he had a human body. I think that spirit takes over. I think Lucifer, in some way, this man becomes the most principality-possessed sock puppet of history. Like Hitler would be a forerunner for this guy. And I taught this slideshow how the beast and AI, and I had this 30, 40 years ago, that AI technology was coming, that computers as large as, you know, that fill houses now will be shrunk to the size of microcomputing. I could see the future. And we had knowledge of this back then. Prophetic Christians and writers saw this. And it'll be like things that took a building could be shrunk down to the head of a pin, even to the point where it could go on the back of your hand or on your forehead, and that your entire medical history, your tracking ability, your health statistics, your economics, all could be reduced to nanotechnology with a mark. That would be the dictator's ultimate dream, an AI-powered computer control of 6 billion people into one great Tower of Babel, where everyone loses their individuality and becomes a managed brick, symmetrically sealed together in a system that aligns hell over earth the way that Lucifer has always wanted the kingdoms of this world to be his. And I taught this. Little did I know that I'd be circling back. And a lot of it came recently when I started reading more about Michael Heiser, a friend of mine. Like I'm mentioning him in these broadcasts because I want to give credit. Whenever you get an idea, you want to honor the well it came from. And his strength was Hebrew studies, particularly the world, as he said, if you want to really know what the Bible means, you've got to go into the thinking and the world of the people that wrote it. You got to go into the Old Testament period and understand what was the world of reality that shaped David's life and Asaph's life and the prophet's worldview. What was the literature and the cosmology, the worldview that shaped the first 100 Daniel's world, Ezekiel's world, all the way to Jesus and the disciples. What did they read? What was the literature? There was the sacred text, but there was also, like we've got, volumes of books and stuff written by the rabbis and analyzing and discussing. And one of those books was Enoch, which Rick Renner believes the earliest parts of, the first portion of, was written by Enoch himself. And he described what we have in Genesis chapter 6, as the fall of the angels who are intended to be watching over men that came down and violated that realm. And it fits perfectly with what we found in Jude and in Peter, that God describes these beings being locked in chains because they left their abode and went down and did what they shouldn't do. Folks, this is why I want you to get a hold of it. Start it off with Jezebel Revealed. Go into the spirit realm. See the spirit realm fighting with you right now. LanceWallnow.com/Jezebel. 800-910-6349. We're going to pick it up when we come back.
Did you enjoy this latest episode? Please remember to share it with your friends, because the more knowledge you have, the better equipped you are to navigate the world.